friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners, and happy Friday. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the March 26th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to the Scorpions of Gambia, who for the first time have qualified for the Africa Cup of Nations football tournament. Gambia booked its maiden Nations Cup ticket with a 1-0 victory against visiting Angola Thursday, and it set off jubilant celebrations as we hear now from Pandari Mbai. Sporty greetings, Pandari!
Sporting greetings, Sonny. Football fans outside the Independence Stadium in Bakau, where they celebrated Gambia's football victory against Angola. The Scorpions defeated Angola on Thursday, 1-0. The West African country is now qualified to take part in the African Cup of Nations finals. Tom Saint-Fed is the coach for Gambia's national team, the Scorpions.
First of all, I have to say that I'm very proud to be coach of Gambia. When I got appointed, I said that we can qualify for big tournaments. At that moment, no one believed me. 2 years ago, in the last match, if we had won Algeria, we would be qualified. Today, before the last match, we are qualified.
Saint-Fed went further to commend the players for bringing Gambia's name into the world map.
I'm proud of my players. The players I know can do the job. I know football is a sport where everyone has an opinion, but not everyone is an experienced, qualified coach in African football. And coaches take decisions based on facts, not emotions. And the boys prove it day in, day out.
This is the first time in Gambia's sports history that the country is qualified to take part in Africa's Cup of Nations finals. Babacar Camara is the director of marketing and communications at the Gambia Football Federation.
As a federation, we would like to congratulate the Scorpions and coach, the entire technical team, for securing this monumental feat, a historic moment for Gambian football. The whole country was united today. Would like to thank and recognize the effort of everyone involved in this historic moment for our football.
Gambian football star Assan Cisse scored the goal that led to Gambia's victory.
Now, the importance of this qualification cannot be overemphasized. It means a lot, and it is going to be a game changer for Gambian football. Gambian football, by the time the tournament begins in 2022, it would have been almost 70 years since the formation of association football in the Gambia. A team has never secured qualification to the Africa Cup of Nations. But hey, here we are finally securing that.
Camara is optimistic about Gambia's prospects of making it in the upcoming African Cup of Nations finals.
With regard to your second question, Pa, whether the Scorpions have any prospects of making it in the AFCONs, yes, the prospects are very, very, very high. Now, this team and this current generation of players have played one of the top teams across the globe. For the past 2 years, Algeria has defeated at least once every opponent that they have come across, except the Gambia.
Meanwhile, the Liverpool striker Sadio Mane has congratulated the Gambian team for its historic victory. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Pandari Mbai reporting.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports. on The Voice of America. And let's once again congratulate the Scorpions of Gambia for their first ever Nations Cup qualification. We'll have more Nations Cup qualifying news, but first, VOA's Gwen Uten tells us a former Norwegian star will be in charge of the British team at this year's Olympic Women's Football Tournament in Japan. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The English Football Association confirmed Hege Riise as head coach of Team Great Britain for the Tokyo Games. Following the announcement, FA Director of Women's Football Sue Campbell joined Coach Riise for a video news conference, where Campbell told reporters Riise's experience as an Olympic champion was a key factor in choosing her to lead Britain in Tokyo.
That Olympic experience, all of the research shows us that people that haven't been to an Olympics before really struggle with their first Olympics, and that includes coaches. It is a unique and very different experience to a World Cup, for example. You know, it's essentially 26 World Cups of different sports happening simultaneously. The village itself is a different environment. And I think the fact that Hege has been there both as a player and a coach will really help her to prepare the team the very best she can.
Before becoming a coach, Riise was a midfielder for Norway and scored 58 goals in 188 appearances during her time with the national team. She won Olympic gold, first as a player in the Sydney Olympics in 2000 and again as assistant coach at London 2012. And now, with a ticket to Tokyo, Riise is on course to become only the fifth woman in history to win three Olympic medals in the sport. Her experience gives her a unique perspective from both sides of the pitch, and she has some advice for the Lionesses of Great Britain going into this year's games.
To be careful enough between the games, not run out of gas, have the energy going into every game, and do whatever we can to have the days in between light, fun. So be like, when the game is on, you are focused and you want to win, and in between it has to be some way relaxing but also focused when you need to, because you need to enjoy the ride as well.
Riise has enjoyed an impressive ride of her own. Along with her Olympic gold medals, she won the UEFA Women's Championship in 1993 and the World Cup for Norway in 1995. That same year, she was named World Player of the Year. Her career took her from the Norwegian League to the United States and then back to Norway, where she retired in 2006. Her biggest highlights were achieved while playing in big tournaments, and Riise says the upcoming experience at the Tokyo Games will enhance the careers of her players as well.
All the experience that the player get playing in big tournament is adding to their experience. And for the English player that go to the Olympics and will be going for the Euros, that's a major experience that they get. And even though the Euros is totally different tournament, but like everything you add to your experience bring you one step further. So I will say that this is a good tournament and experience going forward.
Great Britain are returning to the Olympics after they failed to qualify for Rio 2016. They'll be one of 12 teams taking part in the football tournament at the Tokyo Games. And when Riise was asked which team she's watching out for, the U.S. women's soccer team was at the top of her list.
As always, the U.S. will be a hard team to beat. History-wise, they won almost everything, but not so often the Olympics. So this is an opportunity that we will take. And of course, it's 12 teams, so it will be a competition every game that we play.
Risa was appointed alongside Canadian Rianne Wilkinson, who will serve as assistant coach for Great Britain. And as the two women prepare for the Tokyo Games, they will continue their interim roles as leaders for the England women's national team. And that is all from me for today and for the week. Back over to you, Sonny. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Gwen. And I hope you have a good weekend, too. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week. Right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Squatty greetings, everyone. This is Ambassador Mary Onyale, Olympic medalist, five-time African champion in the sprint event. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Samson Omale joins us now with more Africa Cup of Nations qualifying news. Sporty greetings, Samson!
Sporty greetings to you, Sunny. We begin with a look at the qualifying matches for the Total African Cup of Nations being played across the continent this week, stretching through this weekend. Seven teams qualify for next year's AFCON on Thursday, while many more will confirm their places this weekend. Those were the players of the Comoro national team celebrating in their dressing room as the country qualified for the Total African Cup of Nations for the very first time in their history after picking up a point in a 0-0 draw with Togo at home on Thursday in Group G. The result in Maroni sees Comoros move to 9 points ahead of their final match against Egypt, and this means the worst they can finish is second spot. Seven-time champions Egypt joined Comoros in qualifying for next year's Total African Cup of Nations in Cameroon from the same Group G after a 1-1 draw in Nairobi against the Harambee Stars. Following that result, the Harambee Stars failed to qualify for Cameroon 2022. In Group D, Gambia's Scorpions qualified for their first ever AFCON after a slim 1-0 victory over Angola in Banjul on Thursday. The victory sees Gambia move to 10 points with one round of matches left. Gambians partied all night as they celebrated their first appearance at AFCON. Meanwhile, Gabon have also booked a ticket to Cameroon from the same Group D after a well-worked 3-0 victory over DR Congo at the Stade de la Renovation de Franceville. As a result, two former African champions, DR Congo and Zambia, were among the top teams who saw their hopes of qualifying for the finals come to an end. South Africa were held 1-1 by Ghana at the FNB Stadium in Johannesburg on Thursday evening. The Black Stars punched their ticket to Cameroon 2022, as they are now guaranteed to finish in the top two of the group. Charles Akuno is the Black Stars' head coach.
We didn't need to lose, and we were able to achieve that. Yes, in the early minutes of the game, we struggled because we realized that they came with three back and they put a lot of pressure on us. And so we weren't ready for that. And slowly, we had to do tactical change in the process of the game. But we managed to go into the first half. Of course, in the second half, we went in, we discussed it a lot, how we should approach the game. And we were doing very well in that sense. We also realized that we didn't need to do much up front, and so we had to take our striker out and brought in another midfielder to be able to have the ball more and play more. And somehow within that period of time, we got a goal.
But Bafana Bafana's fate will go down to their final game away to Sudan on Sunday, putting pressure on the side, as coach Molefe Nseki explains.
And we are fully aware of the importance of winning in this match. Even though when you looked at the team, what they have done before, we came into this match with a lot of respect for one another. But the most important thing was to get the maximum points. And I think the players exerted themselves in terms of our game plan to win the match. Unfortunately, we ended up conceding first when we could have scored first, which was a bit of a disappointment from us.
And now to Group J, where Libya's first match at home in close to 7 years ended in defeat as they lost 5-2 to Tunisia at the Matias of Binenia Stadium to see their hopes of fighting for qualification to next year's Total African Cup of Nations come to an end. But the drama in Group J was in Malabo, where captain Emilio Nsue Lopez struck a goal in the 90th minute at the Estadio de Malabo as Equatorial Guinea beat Tanzania 1-0 to qualify. Tanzania had hoped to hold on for a point and give themselves hope heading into the final match of the group, but defeat now means their journey to attaining back-to-back AFCON qualifications has come to an end. In Kigali, Rwanda Amavubi went second in Group F with a precious 1-0 home win over Mozambique to revive their qualification hopes for next year's Continental Showpiece. Automatically qualify as host is Cameroon, the top of the group with 10 points. Staying with the AFCON qualifiers, Ethiopia took a major step towards returning to the African Cup of Nations after they thrashed Madagascar 4-0 in a Group K qualifier played at the Bahir Dar Stadium on Wednesday. The Warriors, who have not appeared at an AFCON tournament since 2013, moved to the top of the group on 9 points. Ivory Coast, who now have a game in hand against bottom of the log Niger on Friday, and Madagascar are still tied on 7 points apiece. Elsewhere, Burkina Faso retained their place at the head of Group B after they held host Uganda to a goalless stalemate at the St. Mary's Stadium, Kitende, on Wednesday afternoon. Meanwhile, Malawi have moved up to 7 points after they defeated South Sudan 1-0 away from home, making it a three-way race for two berths in next year's AFCON. The teams will return to Group B action next week, Monday the 29th of March, with Uganda away to Malawi and Burkina Faso at home to South Sudan. On Saturday, Nigeria will aim to seal qualification for next year's African Cup of Nations when they face host Benin in a top-of-the-table Group L match. The Super Eagles coach Gernot Rohr is confident of victory.
We must know also that Benin did not lose a match since 8 years at home. The last time they lost was in 2013. So you can imagine that we want to be the first one to win there since 8 years. It will not be easy. They have a very good defense. They were quarter finalists in the last AFCON also. They eliminated Morocco. And they have a private plane to have the French players. So what we could not have, unfortunately. So they found the money to take a private plane and to bring them back by charter. These were the conditions to get the French players.
The other Group L game will be between Lesotho and Sierra Leone at the Sesotho Stadium. In Friday fixtures, Niger will square off with Ivory Coast. Burundi will face Central African Republic. Eswatini will welcome Guinea-Bissau, while Senegal will be guests to the Congo. Cape Verde will meet host Cameroon, while Niger will face Cote d'Ivoire. Mauritania will welcome Morocco. Away from the AFCON qualifiers, in tennis news, South Africa's top-ranked tennis player, Lloyd Harris, has won his opening round match at the Miami Open. Harris beat local qualifier Emilio Nava in two tight sets that lasted an hour and 32 minutes on Thursday. Harris, who hails from Cape Town, won 6-4, 7-6, 8-6 to progress to the second round, where he will face Spanish 7 seed Roberto Batista Agut on Saturday. Kenya's Sports Cabinet Secretary Amina Mohamed has petitioned the European Tour to stage one more world-class golf event in Kenya, in addition to the magical Kenyan Open and the Savannah Classic. She said Kenya has more to offer in terms of memorable experiences across world-class golf courses besides the Karen Country Club, where the two events have been held so far.
We're actually delighted. We're over the moon. It's the first time that has happened anywhere in the world. that you have two championships back to back. So we feel extremely privileged. I think it gives us that badge of honor. But it also allows Kenya to be seen as a sporting destination, that it is. As you know, we've hosted very many sporting events. And so having this additional tournaments being held here just confirms that we're actually a sporting giant on the continent. And so we're looking forward, and what our request has been to the European Tour, not to make this a one-off.
The ongoing Kenya Savannah Classic is in its fourth day.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sony side of sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
In athletics, half marathon world record holder Chibuwot Kandi will renew rivalry with former record holder Geoffrey Kamauro at the Istanbul half marathon set for April the 4th. The duo will clash for the first time over the 21-kilometer race since Kandi smashed Kamauro's record at the Valencia half marathon last December, when he clocked 57 minutes 32 seconds to erase 29 seconds of the previous mark of 58 minutes 01 seconds. The first meeting between the pair this year was at the Kenya's cross-country championships. It's back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Samson. That's Samson O'Malley with another extra spicy African sports package for us. One of our big African football stories this month was South African billionaire Patrice Motsepe being elected the new president of CAF, the sports continental governing body. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again as Iron Mike Mbonye asks Clyde Tu, a Johannesburg-based football analyst, what's been the reaction among South Africans?
The reaction from South Africans with regards to Patrice's election has been incredible. I think a lot of us, a lot of people in the country agree that South Africa has a bigger role to play in African politics, sport, and everything. And for over the years, South Africa seemed to be self-isolating. And I think with Pizzo moving to coach Al Ahly and now Patrice going on to take over CAF, it is a sign that South Africa is rising to the occasion. South Africa is taking up its place as leaders of the continent. And it's not a surprise that Patrice got elected, and a lot of people are really elated. They're looking forward, see what he can bring. We know him as a businessman, things that he can deliver, things that he can do in business space. He's an incredible human being, an incredible leader, and I have no doubt that he will do well at CAF.
Patrice Motsepe, the new president of the Confederation of African Football, in his speech, called for unity as he seeks to fix the troubled organization.
It's a huge honor and a huge privilege for me, and also thank my brother Gianni for the vision and the encouragement of unity. We can only deal with the challenges of Africa, and we will succeed, but we will only do so when we are united.
Do you think he can achieve this?
Can Motsepe unite Africa and take African football forward? My answer will be definitely he can. It's up to other people from the rest of the continent to decide if they want to come to the table. Motsepe is an open leader. He's a leader that wants to include everyone. And I believe if you also look at the history of South Africa outside of sport, it has always been about inclusion. It's never been about segregate other people so that we can achieve something. And I think that's where Motsepe gets his principles, to say that to achieve or to build anything worthwhile, you need each and every piece available for you to build. And when you talk about pieces in terms of African football, you need all the different regions, the different countries, and all the different kinds of people that have always been leaders in football. They need to come into the table. But because when you look at it, Motsepe is a track record of a very successful businessman. And if you think about it, if he approached any business and he said, guys, African football needs you, I don't see any business feeling a bit insecure. And him not being part of the previous executives that have failed, that have done other terrible things, towards African football gives him that edge to say, this here is a new, fresh perspective, someone that hasn't been part of the previous failures, somebody who's coming and starting on a clean slate. And that appeals to me if I was a private business and looking to put money in football. If somebody said, here is a successful businessman like Motsipe, who's a billionaire, I think a lot of people in all over Africa, and South Africa in particular, have been saying that finally there is a billionaire at the helm of African football who doesn't need money, who doesn't need money from football. So he's definitely not coming in to loot, but coming in to lead.
Motsipe also pledged to increase prize money for CAF organized competitions.
Prize money for winning the Champions League. We've got to increase it. And we can increase because we can pay the players more and we can use some of that money to help us with the transport and all of the other expenses. So we've got to increase the prize money.
What's your take on this?
You know, a lot of South African clubs have been accused of not taking CAF competitions seriously, and it was understandable. The reason was because the money that you get from participating in these competitions wasn't worthwhile. The only time you get to make the money that you're trying to make as a business, not just as a football club, because truth is, right now, football is a business. So the only time you got to make that kind of money was based on you going on to win the Champions League. And not all clubs from South Africa have the capabilities, have the squad, have the mental toughness to go on and win the Champions League. Now you start asking yourself, is it really worth it? Or can I just focus on the domestic competitions because they are very lucrative? It's a lot of money to win South African local competitions as compared to CAF competitions. And I say this because the traveling costs will be less than that of traveling around Africa. And when you travel around Africa, you know the costs are inflated because sometimes you need to go in and connect via Europe to be in another African country. So perhaps that's another thing that you will need to fix. Relook at the format of the CAF Champions League. See if there is a way to reduce as much costs as you can to get more teams to participate as well and be competitive as well. But I think when it comes to him increasing the money in CAF competitions, definitely I believe with his stature that he appeals to corporates, so there will be money coming into CAF. Then it will become easier to plow it back into football, into these competitions. It's very important to have a lot of money in these competitions. That way it will grow our football, because we can't keep playing for peanuts. We really can't keep playing for peanuts. To make clubs competitive and be able to bring players from other leagues, to bring players from Europe, for instance, instead of us as Africa to keep sending players to Europe, it's about time other continents like Europe start sending their players this side. And for them to do that, we must have a high level of professionalism. We need to have lucrative competitions like the CAF Champions League. Players from all over the other continents must want to play in there because there's money.
That's African football analyst Clyde Tu. And Clyde spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Johannesburg, South Africa.
Sporty greetings. This is Clyde Tu, an African football analyst. You're listening to Sony Side of Sport on the Voice of America.
Finally, in pro basketball, Danny Green is a three-time NBA champion, and he's lifted the trophy with three different clubs, the San Antonio Spurs, the Toronto Raptors, and last year with the Los Angeles Lakers. Now Danny is playing for the Philadelphia 76ers, and he had a great game against the Lakers on Thursday night. The AP's Mark Myers reports from Los Angeles, California.
Danny Green won a title last season playing for the Lakers, but now he's a Sixer, and against his former team Thursday, Green scored a game-high 28 points in Philadelphia's 109-101 win.
Coincidence? Possibly, probably. You look at my history, I've had some decent games against my former team. I've had some of my worst games against my former team. So it happens.
Green made 8 three-point baskets. Seth Curry scored 19 points. Tobias Harris with 17. The 76ers have won 10 out of 11. Kyle Kuzma had 25 points to lead the Lakers. Mark Myers, Los Angeles.
And that wraps up the March 26th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in and have a nice weekend. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.